It's Thursday, June 22nd, and the Milwaukee Bucks finally have their GM, and his name is John Horst. It's a good thing, too, because the NBA draft is tonight, and this offseason is shaping up to be one of the best in a long time. To baseball, the Brewers continue to look for answers in their bullpen, and the Raiders' Derek Carr is about to get paid. We'll discuss that and more coming up on Tap in the Keg podcast. You can follow us on Twitter, at Mitch Ross MKE, and at SnowTapWI. So without further ado, here's your host, Charlie Trichler.
I'm drunk. You're drunk. Everybody's drunk.
Welcome to the Honor Edition of Tap in the Keg podcast, episode 242. Mitch on the ones and twos. Charlie here with you. Happy Thursday. Happy NBA draft day. What we all say in this draft.
It's like Christmas Eve for me these days.
And this might be one of the more irrelevant podcasts that we tape. A lot can happen today.
That's true.
So we're going to probably...
But I am glad we waited.
Yes, I'm too, actually. There's been more subplots that have developed. It's kind of like... And this is a crazy recall. I was thinking about this in the shower. A couple years ago, we taped... Podcast right before the NBA trade deadline. It was like 2 years ago, 3 years ago, I think. And me and you were both convinced that not a lot was going to happen. We were just like, yeah, you know, the Bucks may do stuff, but I don't think so. And that was the deadline where they traded for Michael Carter Williams, and all hell broke loose in the rest of the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
So before we get going on the NBA draft, we're going to probably talk about the Bucks GM first, and then we'll do a lot on the draft and a lot on just what's happening in the NBA right now, and then look at the Brewers and maybe a little Packers at the end if we have time, but who knows? Don't know. Can't know if I'll fit it in, but first we'll check in with Mitch. Mitch, how you doing?
I am doing very well.
Can't complain. Weather's nice.
Right. It's going to be toasty today.
Yes. Yes.
How, as you listen.
Because storms probably rolled through last night. Got the summer solstice coming up on Saturday.
Yep.
Last great event on North Avenue, so get to relive North. Will you make an Eastsiders appearance? Is my first question.
Hopefully.
I think you kind of have to, right? It's kind of for tradition and for the family.
I don't know if it's public knowledge, but I know they're doing, I think, something that's gonna signify some kind of an end of an era thing.
Oh, really?
Eastsider is, yeah.
Oh, is this breaking news?
I got an invite for it.
Oh, wow.
Via Facebook. I'm not sure if it's something I should be talking about.
So,
maybe it's public knowledge.
I don't know. But, maybe breaking news.
I mean, that's kind of how Eastsider is, though. It's a little bit of a brotherhood type of thing.
There you go. Like,
if you're a regular there at one point in your life, obviously 5 years ago or whatever, you kind of are, I guess. I don't want to say joined at the hip for life, but
here's the thing. Like, I hate to say it, but like the Eastsider has a lot of memories for me. Like a lot of memories.
You don't have to hate to say it, Charlie.
No,
just embrace it.
Yeah. What was the weird part about the Eastsider is I went through like two sets of Eastsider because my friends all went there for a while because my boy Shannon and his girlfriend, now fiance Abby, worked there. So we did that, and then shortly thereafter, you guys got real deep. Another set of friends got real deep into the cider game, and so that's just kind of how it happened. So a lot of good memories, a lot of good moments have been founded there, you know, staying there from 10 to 2 and not really caring and mm-hmm. paying next to nothing. I mean, American dream there. So if it is the end, well, that's sad, but we'll announce first couple sponsors tonight, Solstice and Eastsider. So
yeah, the solstice will be happening in the future.
Oh yeah, the solstice I don't think will ever end, but
you said this to me the other night when we were hanging out too, that it was the last great event, and kind of making it sound like it's some kind of goodbye party or something.
It's
gonna be there every year, but it could be.
Listen,
I guess
it's not
the way that North Ave has deteriorated over the last year.
North,
I guess you could argue that it is kind of a
North's just gonna have to go through a complete rebuild, kind of like
going
the
through
Sixers.
A metamorphosis.
They're like the 76ers right now. They don't even really have a star. They don't have their Embiid yet. They don't have a Ben Simmons. They don't have a Markelle Fultz.
Right.
They need to kind of figure their shit out and rebuild it. I think once they figure out what is going to work and what's the demos, they'll they'll be all right, like anything else. But we've talked long enough. Yeah. Loaded show. So we'll get into the Bucks GM search. I think, you know, this has been a topic of conversation pretty much for the last 3 weeks, 4 weeks, maybe more. And I don't think we have brought up John Horst's name once. Kind of a who on Friday morning when the deal was kind of made official.
Big
and
swinging
it really seemed like
factory.
There were way too many cooks in the kitchen.
Yep.
Mark Lazary, Jamie Dinan wanted Justin Zanuck. Edens wanted Horst. And then that's where we – and somehow – Edens was able to convince Lazary and Dinan that Horst was the right guy. We had members of Bucks Twitter tweeting at Mallory Edens like jackasses. Won't be named, but one of the worst trolls on that facade place. So anyways, the fact is like people were very unhappy. I think people are still unhappy. People are very nervous that Horst isn't going to be the right guy. And I don't know where you want to start. If you want to start with the positive or the negative.
There's a lot at work with this. Just the fact that he came out of nowhere. And I think when it was revealed that Zanuck was a Lazary kid guy, which I didn't know, I think it kind of turned some of the diehard fan forums on its axis.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think a lot of people thought Zanuck was... I better silence my phone. I think a lot of people thought Zanuck was vying for more power... You know, in the organization, and Kidd and Lazary didn't like him, and then all of a sudden you find out that he was their guy all along, and Edens is the guy that's involved in the basketball operations or whatever, and is sort of maybe the guy that you can blame now for everything at this point when everybody thought Edens was the good guy, right?
Right, and kind of like a turncoat
yeah,
move.
Yeah.
And
it was like a WWE heel turn.
Yeah, Edens put Lazary through the glass, a.k.a. Shawn Michaels to Marty Jannetty.
So, I mean, but you know, I guess we'll start with the negatives. Let's end on a positive note.
Okay, I like it. Positive vibes only.
The negatives are he has, you know, he's been with the Bucks organization for 9 years since Hammond arrived. He
right.
brought Horst with him when Horst was, what, 23 years old? Because Horst is only 34.
Yeah, he's a young dude.
Young pup. And so it kind of reminds me a little bit of David Stearns in that regard.
Yeah.
I don't think he's as educated as Stearns. And
no, Stearns had a lot of that analytic stuff
right.
was already kind of developed and worked under some geniuses with Houston.
Correct. So that's kind of what leads us to the negatives is that a lot of people doubt what sort of experience he has.
Yeah.
He's been the director of basketball operations, not to be confused with the president of basketball operations.
Right, like the assistant, assistant to the GM.
He's not even an assistant GM, but an assistant to the GM.
Right.
So, you know, so nobody knows exactly what his experience level is. I know he's said that his salary cap was his big forte as an assistant. So, you know, nobody knows exactly how much scouting he's done and, you know, or how much, you know, how much cachet he has around the league.
Yeah.
He's going to have none
I think
I'm willing to give him a chance.
I think the real concerning thing is the Bucks really cannot afford to go with a guy who needs a learning curve. This isn't a time for the Bucks to say, okay, let this guy get his feet wet for a couple of years. We just drafted a guy like a Brandon Ingram type, just using him as an example. And we have a few years to build around him, and it's going to take a while.
Yeah.
That's not what the Bucks are doing. The Bucks are trying to win 50 games next year. The Bucks are trying to be the second best team in the Central.
Yeah.
So it's like, this is not the time to fuck around. Like, and I get it that Edens has promised there's going to be a veteran executive coming through, but at the same time, like...
What's the point?
Yeah, and who's that veteran executive? I mean, those guys, that just seems like it's a retread that they're going to bring in just to kind of
hold his hand,
steady the water, and teach him some things.
Well, I think there's a lot of belief that he is, you know, the protege of the best yes man in basketball, John Hammond.
Well,
so you know, I think that a lot of people think that it's going to be Lazary. You know, the Three Stooges, as they're being called now, the three owners.
Well, yeah, I mean, and everybody's sort of like goodwill towards them ran out right then and there.
Well,
it only took one big move. And
well,
then it was,
I mean,
like,
all you have to do
it.
Is think about the other good stuff they've done,
right?
And you kind of can weigh it out or balance it out a little bit,
right?
At the end of the day, really, all that matters is what's happening on the court, too.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm willing to give John Horst a chance, like I said. So I think with him, a lot of people are, the bad thing is he came out of nowhere and they kind of settled on him. Settled on a guy that they could probably push around.
Sure.
Type of thing.
No, I think that's extremely fair. And I think that that is a significant issue for the Bucks. I think that people are going to look at him and say that he's not the major decision maker and that teams could think that they could throw out some wild trades because they think the owners might not be as savvy as that. It kind of a Vivek Ranadive situation. I don't think the Bucks owners are that crazy, but it feels like a similar thing, right?
True, yeah, but it does.
Vladdy's a yes man, but I do think Horst is a little smarter than Vladdy. I think Vladdy just smokes cigarettes and does nothing. And can we go positive now?
Positives.
I just think the
fact that he's a young guy and you don't really know what you're getting. I mean, obviously you can spin that positively that he has no experience.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of things like, so the whole he's not Vladivik is because this guy busted his ass.
Right.
Like he lived in a Detroit trailer park.
He's not, yeah,
for
right.
2 years.
He's not Chauncey Billups who might get a GM job.
He's not silver spooning at all. This guy is about as blue collar as they come from. And I feel like if that story gets out there more, Matt Velasquez did a great job on that profile. But, you know, that is a very Milwaukee thing, and that's a very thing to endear to fans if you can sell it the right way.
Right.
So
that these billionaire New York owners that are treating the team like a toy hired this guy that's, like you said, blue collar and is a Midwest guy.
Right.
Has come from nothing, so to speak.
And there are 100 examples of bad guys like this, but there are gems. I mean, Eric Spoelstra was a nobody. People thought Eric Spoelstra was a puppet for Pat Riley, and that whenever something was going to go wrong with that Heat team, Spoelstra was going to get fired and Riley was going to take over that team.
Mm-hmm.
That was always what was brought up.
And now look
at Spoelstra. Never happened. And Spoelstra's probably a top five coach.
Right. That's just how he's considered.
And if you want to bring it locally, Mike McCarthy was an absolute nobody. Nobody knew who Mike McCarthy was.
The Packers coach?
Yeah. He was a quarterback's coach for the San Francisco 49ers who weren't that good.
Mm-hmm.
And McCarthy just, been a great coach. I know people might differ on that. But the fact is that there are examples of this where guys who are unknown show up and play and are big. I mean, Ted Thompson was a who is Ted Thompson? I mean, there are guys like this. I mean, I guess it's better than a retread, and if he has the support of the players and he knows what he's doing with the cap, that's a really good thing because with Greg Monroe opting in, the Bucks are pushing up against the luxury tax. I believe they're about $18 million before they go into the luxury tax, so Tony Snell is easily, they can bring back Tony Snell.
He's probably not coming back.
You don't think so?
I don't. Unless he's doing like $10 million or less.
I think the Bucks will make some moves at the draft, and I don't know if it's Greg Monroe. I don't know if it's John Henson. I think the Bucks do find ways to get some money freed up, and I think this is the real true test of Horst, and I do think some people will overreact. But if he moves Mirza and Henson, I think a lot of people will
be doing cartwheels.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And everything will be fine.
One thing I was thinking about, too, though, is that a lot of people complain that Horst is going to be not necessarily going to have the most power in the organization. And, but to me, it's kind of like it's really that big a deal if the GM. Obviously, I guess you want the GM to have the final say.
Right.
Or to be the one to sign off on everything. But what's wrong with discussion amongst, the coaches, an owner or two? I don't really have a problem with discussion. I don't think it has to be the Packers way of doing anything where Ted Thompson walks on water and runs that entire city, and there's also no transparency there.
No.
And then I don't think it has to be the complete other way where it's just a complete joke, I guess, of nobody knows who to blame. But at the same time, is that what fans want?
I don't know.
I think that is what fans want.
And the other question is maybe
think about the Packers and their situation with the way things kind of are right now, where you're wasting quote unquote the best years of Aaron Rodgers.
Oh yeah, I saw some.
Just
tweet.
Think,
yeah,
just no, think if you couldn't even blame Ted Thompson.
Yeah.
And you had no idea. Like,
yeah, you blame. You'd blame Jerry Jones. Like if it was a Jerry Jones situation. Oh, Jerry's holding back Rodgers, you know, or Dan Snyder or whatever.
Or you'd blame the board of whatever they are.
Mark Murphy's holding back. So
I'm obviously winning cures everything. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when the shit goes south on the Packers, and it undoubtedly will at some point.
Yeah,
you know, they're going to have to rebuild.
At
or
some
something.
Point, I'll have to probably explain to my kids why the Packers suck and, like, don't become a fan of some other team in a few years.
Exactly. So, I mean, obviously, they're winning cures everything. And if they come out and they do win 50 games this year, and, like you said, Horst does find a way to clear Henson or Mirza before the season starts, I think everybody's happy.
Well, here's the other part I'll post.
I don't think he's going
to
do anything ridiculously crazy.
What's to say that the Bucks owners didn't look at this or Edens didn't look at this and say to the guys, like, guys, let's stop futzing around with this roster. This roster, besides a few bad contracts, is set. We have our core four. It is Giannis, it is Jabari, it's Thon, and it's Chris Middleton. And we're going to pretty much put our feet in the sand, let everybody around us go crazy, and we're going to stick with this. And we don't need somebody that's going to rattle the hen house. Mm-hmm. So we're just going to stick with John, who knows his way around the cap, who can figure out how to save us some money in different situations.
And knows where the team is at.
Right.
Not some big swinging dick that's going to come in here and shake everything up or
and
something.
And say, we got to trade Jabari. I need to make a splash. I need to make a splash. You know, a lot of these GMs come in and they need to make a splash. So I'm going to trade Jabari for Damian Lillard. I'm going to trade Jabari for Kristaps, which I actually want to care.
I was just going to say, I'm not trading Jabari unless
Taps is coming.
Right.
If Taps is coming, I'm there.
I was talking with somebody that day right after that news broke.
Yeah.
That Philly Jackson was looking to ruin the Knicks even further.
Yes.
And I was like, man, you could have a 3-4-5 of Giannis, Porzingis, and Thon.
Come everywhere.
If you can somehow maybe do like a Jabari and Middleton for in a pick or two.
So I don't know. Do you want to get it? Do you have any more GM thoughts, or can we get into the craziness before the
draft,
the actual draft?
I will sum it up by saying I don't think there's any way he has full autonomy
on
what's happening. But I'm open to giving him a chance, and I guess the first move is tonight with the draft.
And real question too, another question, not to add on to it, but Jason Kidd's seat's obviously hotter. I think that's a big takeaway. That Kidd's seat,
I would hope so.
Kidd's seat's hot. I don't know hot.
Because if Edens has emerged as the bellwether of the three owners.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, we didn't mention this, but I wish that all three of them would have been there for the press conference.
That is bullshit. That it could made have it looked way look way worse. Right. Even I don't care how busy you are, you own this fucking team and you need to show up for things like that. Don't care.
Yep. That's also what frustrates
the blue collars.
Yeah. The pinheads, if you will.
The Randy Bryces of the world.
And even myself to some extent.
Yeah.
I will accept that I would have liked to have seen the word I've heard is a united front.
Yep.
So we didn't get that.
So you got the draft coming up, but before we do the craziness, we'll do the Bucks first because they are a local team and they're the ones who matter. So do you have a favorite emerge for you at 17 that you're like, the guys there, I want them to draft them. I need them.
Well, it's
kind
of funny that, like, what was it, four names came out of guys that declined workouts for the Bucks.
Yeah.
And who knows why. But I think, like, two or three of them I kind of wanted.
And I mean, who are they again?
Two or three I could live with. The two that I'm thinking of is Harry Giles and Justin Patton.
Yep. Those two would be great fits for the Bucks.
And Giles has, now with Monroe opting back in.
Yep.
We know that now. I don't know if I really want five or six centers on the roster as of tomorrow night or as of tomorrow when we wake up,
right?
Which kind of stinks. I don't, man, because Hawes is probably going to opt in too. You almost have to move Henson or somebody.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't have six centers on your roster.
Yeah. I do think that
out of control.
I think you have to.
The thing is, Harry Giles is a Jeff Schwartz client.
Oh,
so
I did not know that.
And the Bucks have drafted. You didn't catch that news today?
No, I missed
Harry
that.
Harry Giles is a Jeff Schwartz client. The last two drafts have been Jeff Schwartz.
Hell yeah.
With Shadi Vaughn and what's his name? Thon they took last year.
Lock it
so,
in.
So I mean, I haven't seen the list of Harry Giles. Harry Giles isn't that the guy from The One Direction?
Harry Styles.
Harry Styles, yeah. Great.
But a lot of 1D jokes could happen. Sure. But Harry Giles would be so the most John Hammond-y picks are Harry Giles or Terrence Ferguson.
Yeah, Terrence Ferguson is a guy that I would want. He seems to, if anything, he's dropped in draft mock drafts I've seen over the last few months. I mean, he was, I think, a lottery pick for quite a while until, you know, through the college basketball season.
Yeah, and I think a lot of this, you know, you get the whole like,
I think he's a natural replacement for Tony Snell.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where, I mean, I could live with Terrence Ferguson.
Oh, me too. I mean, Terrence Ferguson's a very good player. I think he has a lot of potential to be a good player.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there are some definite real, like, would he actually, you know, would he be a Tony Snell replacement and could he have the same production? You know what I mean?
With Tony Snell, it's hard because he's probably not worth what he's going to get.
Right.
Because of the style he plays, where he obviously was fantastic this past season. And it's the Bucks, as we have talked about already, are pretty strapped with financially. Right. So I worry about, unless you can move a guy or two during the draft or shortly thereafter, I just worry about putting a lot of money into him and sort of even strapping yourself even more, even though he is pretty versatile and seems to fit well with the team.
Yeah, I think it's more the fit, you know, it's like that's kind of where it is. And if you look at, so Jonathan Givony of Draft Express, who's kind of, to me, like the smartest guy,
mm-hmm.
has the Bucks taking Justin Patton.
Oh, he does.
Yes.
I believe it was Harry Giles all along.
He just updated as we record
yep, this.
And he's like, it's based on intel, based on stuff I'm hearing. TJ Leaf's another guy I really wouldn't hate. I think TJ Leaf has a solid skill set that would fit the Bucks. You know, 6'10", can shoot, can rebound. He's just kind of a stretch four. He definitely fits. DJ Wilson's another guy who is at 22. So like Wilson and Leaf are two guys who, if the Bucks want to trade down, I'm not going to be mad. I really am not going to look at that.
Brooklyn has the 22nd pick, huh?
Yeah.
I don't know how they got it, but.
But yeah, they have it. It's there. Yeah, he has Harry Giles slipping all the way to 26 of the Blazers, which is kind of a cruel twist of fate, and has Ferguson slipping
29
to the Spurs in 29. So they're a little down on those guys. So if we look at there, Jared Allen, I want nothing of. You mentioned him last week. You're like, I'm out of Jared.
Yeah, I don't know why. I just, a lot of times I haven't seen enough of these guys to really have a good opinion on it.
Bam Adebayo from excuse me, from Kentucky. He is a house. He's a big boy.
I like him.
He would add a lot of that nice physical size off the bench. Guy who could get you.
And he thinks he can shoot too.
A little bit, but I think you could rein that in and be okay. If Frank, I can't pronounce his last name, the French guy.
Tilikina or whatever?
Tilikina. He has him slipping to 15. If Frank's around in that 15, I would not be opposed to trading up for a 6'5 point guard.
Correct.
Yeah, you have to consider it.
I agree. It should be more about who we don't want.
Oh, yeah, that's great. Who do we not want?
I don't really want Justin Jackson. Doesn't do much for me. He's old, he's rail thin.
He won't be there when the Bucks pick, but I want no part of Lauri Markkanen.
Nah.
He, as I said on Twitter, it was a great joke, so I repeat it. He's about as scared of the post as I'm scared of slim fit shirts. Like, that's pretty much where he stands with the post.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, who else do I now? Jared Allen was one. OG Anunoby is interesting, but he had that knee injury. That's a lot to deal with there. Derek White's another guy that's very old. Colorado, 23-year-old.
He's gotten a ton of love.
Yeah, but he's a little old. I mean, Ivan Rabb, I'm surprised he's down at 30. I kind of actually like him a little bit more.
Based on what Givony has here, Second round, I think I want Tyler Dorsey.
Oh, Tyler Dorsey would be a great pick for the Bucks.
Yeah, I would totally want. It just sucks that for the first round pick for the Bucks, I mean, they need a point guard in the worst way.
Yeah.
And there's nowhere to be found, really. Well, I guess with Ntilikina, or however you say his name,
right,
dropping, that helps.
Yeah,
it's kind of in the ballpark now.
And who's the Malcolm Brogdon in the draft? Is it Josh Hart or is it Sundarius Thornwell? You know, do you have a read on either of those guys kind of being like a star in the future?
Maybe a Dylan Brooks.
Dylan Brooks isn't showing up. Nigel Williams-Goss is a junior, but he's nearly 23, so I could put him into that category too from Gonzaga. Any of those guys stand out to you?
That's hard to tell.
I think Josh Hart would be the safe one. But he is the safe one. The kind of high upside would be Thornwell because he can kind of do it all. He did it, and everyone's like, oh, he just had that tournament run, but he was a hell of a player. So,
right.
So there is a lot there, a lot to unpack. We'll see what the Bucks do. 17 is kind of a nice spot because you will see guys drop, and then once you start seeing guys drop in the lottery, you could try to make a move up and see what you can do.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if a guy, like, let's just say, I don't know, our boy Malik Monk drops to, like, 12 or something like that. And then it's like, well, do we get rid of a few pieces to get up to Malik Monk? Because I might. I'm just saying.
Trade like next year's first.
Yeah, I probably would. Yeah, I think Malik Monk's a game changer, but that's just me just throwing stuff out there.
Yeah, I would live with that.
So our ode to Beer Fest earlier was to refer to how drunk the league is right now because it is hammered. You know, reports are that Phil is looking to try to get up into the top four and get Josh Jackson. That is the report. That's what they would trade.
I just heard driving into the salt mine this evening that Josh Jackson was going to Boston.
Yes, and that I did hear that as well from Jeff Zilgit of USA Today on Writer Than You. So if that's the case, then I don't think they're going to do it. But if I'm Boston and I could get Porzingis for the third pick and Isaiah Thomas, I think I'm doing it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think you gotta.
Yeah.
I mean, you had Isaiah Thomas,
I would probably trade him for nothing.
Yeah, and I mean,
That's me, though. I don't really like him.
The Celtics have just had a history. I watched the first half of that 30 for 30. Not that great, by the way. Ice Cube and Donnie Wahlberg narrating. Get out of here. Just give me an actor narrating. Don't give me this bullshit.
Those aren't actors.
No, but like an actual person who, like, Roy Schreiber is a guy who I think does the Hard Knocks. Great voice. Liam Neeson, great voice. Give me a guy with some pipes, man.
Morgan Freeman, great voice.
Yeah, but Morgan Freeman's not doing a sports documentary unless it's some real sad shit that I'm going to be crying at the end. but anyways, the Boston's been known to make those draft trades that end up reshaping their franchise.
Well, and the deal with the Sixers, which we haven't mentioned yet, to get them the number one, or give Philly the number one pick this year to presumably take Markel Fultz. Philly traded the Lakers first next year to Boston.
Right.
Who, if the Lakers don't get Paul George this offseason, Lakers probably aren't going to be very good again next year.
Yep.
And Boston might have a top 10 pick again.
Exactly.
Top 5 pick.
So, and people are saying the draft.
Because they don't have D'Angelo Russell
anymore.
And
people are saying the draft next year could be just as good. And so the Kristaps thing's interesting. The fact that the Spurs that came out that they're looking at to try to get into the top 5 and trade LaMarcus Aldridge is fascinating. Just because they're trying to clear some money, whether it be for Chris Paul, or someone else that we don't know, or they're trying to get, who are they trying to get? You know, Jason Tatum, are they convinced that there's another guy who'd really fit the Spurs? And Paul Gasol's declined to free up some money. And the Spurs are kind of in an interest. They're very sneaky about what they're doing. Cause you just don't, they're very Packer like. We don't really know exactly what the Spurs have up their sleeves.
But they're always going to do what they can to stay competitive.
Yeah, they always have their hand in the pot. So the DeAndre Jordan part was interesting. I think that's Jerry West's first, like, needling into that roster. Mm-hmm. I don't know where that'll end up, but, like, it's very interesting to see Jerry West finally starting to kind of get his fingers into that.
It's funny that people make fun of the fact that Rod Thorne is helping the Bucks out. But when you get a guy who's older than dirt, like Jerry West, he knows the game.
Well,
and
here's the thing, man. Jerry West built the Warriors. Right. I mean, he helped Bob Myers build the Warriors.
Correct.
And that's going to just always be on him. He also helped build the Lakers.
I know, but I'm just saying,
90s.
Like, if you look at the optics of it,
yeah,
like, it's kind of
like.
Yeah,
I get that, but Jerry West has a resume. Rod Thorne's just a guy who stayed too long in New Jersey. I mean, that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
So that's the difference.
No, I know. I know there's a difference. I'm just saying that.
Do you think Paul George will be moved?
Probably.
I think if you're Indiana, you have to do it.
Yeah.
I think you have to get.
I think you want to do
it. If you can get either Julius Randle, Jordan Clarkson, or Brandon Ingram, probably not the third. But if you can get Clarkson or Randle or both, hell yeah, do it.
And one of those picks?
Yeah.
A late first, unfortunately.
Because then you have a young team with Randle and Miles Turner inside. It's a scary 1-2 punch inside.
Yeah.
And that really doesn't fit today's NBA. But then you trade Jeff Teague, probably. And you let Lance run the point, which is hilarious.
Speaking of the Rockets, Pat Beverley is on the trade block.
Don't even. I have the sweats because I love Pat Beverley.
Oh, he's awesome. And he's perfect.
Pat Beverley came to the Bucks. I would just.
He's from Chicago too.
I'd be like the House of Horst. I had already started. I'd just say
the House of Horst.
I pray to the House of Horst. because
if he could swing, you know. God forbid John Henson or somebody into that deal.
Henson, Tony.
The problem is the Rockets are trying to clear cap.
Right. So I mean, Greg Monroe would be an interesting piece for them because they really don't have that much size. Greg can run decently. I think a guy like James Harden would be perfect for Monroe, who just feeds off those quick passes. I saw a deal today that made me cry. They're like, well, if the Bulls kind of still want to stay competitive, the deal would send Ariza and Bev to the
Bulls.
Bulls for Rondo and somebody else. I think maybe Isaiah Cannon.
Is Rondo expiring?
I'm not sure. Yeah, Rondo would be a contract I'd try to get rid of. If I thought about it with the Bulls, and I'm like, if I wanted to trade Jimmy Butler, I don't think they want to trade him to Minnesota. But if I could convince them to give me Wiggins and Rubio, I'm doing it in a heartbeat.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great deal. That's a hell of a deal to get Wiggins and Rubio. But I don't think it would happen.
What does that do for the Timberpups then, if that happens?
Does that kind of
lock them into
Jimmy Butler and Karl Anthony Towns are like two of the best 20 players in the league.
Yeah,
so
probably.
that makes them an immediate contender, not like for the championship, but
in the West.
Immediate playoff top four team in the West with a few pieces around. I think Chris Dunn's no schlub. So you have Chris Dunn probably as your point guard.
Didn't have a very good rookie year.
He flashes. I wouldn't say he didn't have a good rookie year, but there's a lot.
Look at his shooting percentage and come back.
Well, that's true. But there are so many subplots. And we haven't even seen, like, I would love it. I hate the term, like, it's way overused, but, like, hold my beer. But if the Kings just are like, oh, you guys are talking all crazy? Hold my beer. And deal, just do something just nuts.
Well, they have the 5 and the 9 pick, right?
Yeah, they do. I don't know what they would do, but who knows?
I think the Kings just, God bless them, just need to take De'Aaron Fox.
Yeah, if the Kings get De'Aaron Fox, that's a huge, huge thing for their franchise.
Because I think he somehow wants to go there.
Yeah, he said that.
I feel like I've heard that, or he's on record saying he would go there.
I think the thing with Fox is I think he wants to just be the man.
He wants to be the guy to turn the Kings into something.
Hell yeah.
Then you got, I mean, so that trade for Boogie wasn't that bad. I mean, you're getting two top 10 picks right away.
If you get De'Aaron Fox and Dennis Smith, that's a pretty 1-2 punch, or Malik Monk. You get both Kentucky guys, and I don't know.
Imagine that.
Could happen.
I would want that, maybe.
Then you'd hear the Calipari rumors. I'd love it. Then we get, like, Calipari to the Kings. John Calipari. Now, no rumors that John Calipari is going to go to the Kings.
Or Dave Yeager. Too bad he couldn't coach the Bucks. That'd be nice.
Yeah, Dave Yeager, yeah. They want to bring Dave Yeager to Milwaukee. Go separate it.
He's from Minnesota originally, too, I think.
Slide
so he's
to those
guy.
DMs. I don't know. Do we have any other draft things?
The Dwight Howard stuff was funny.
Oh, real funny. Dwight Howard got traded for peanuts.
He obviously knew that he was getting traded. He had to have said that.
I don't know,
Five minutes before.
I don't know.
I highly doubt that. Twitter is where these guys are finding this. I mean,
yeah, there have been a lot of stories.
Maybe
of guys
not,
who find this shit out.
I suppose. I mean, I don't know.
So, what would be the most shocking thing that would happen tonight? what would be the one thing or today that you're just like, holy shit, I cannot believe this.
The Lakers don't get Lonzo Ball or trade the 2 pick.
Oh wow.
Probably okay. I'd say would be the most shocking.
If they use
the 2 pick to get Paul George, that'd be pretty shocking.
Yeah.
That'd be great for Indiana.
Yeah.
Whether they take Ball or not. I don't think they would. I wouldn't.
No.
I mean, I wouldn't take him too if I'm Indiana.
I've said I think Lonzo fits the Suns probably the best. And even though he doesn't play a lot of defense, but you could figure that out. Yeah. For me, I think the most shocking thing.
I took the easy one.
You did take an easy one. If DeAndre Jordan got traded, I really think that's a surprise because he's played really well. And like they deal him to Phoenix. I mean, that actually is a sneaky great deal for the Suns. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's worth the 4th overall pick. If they trade him for the 4th overall pick, they're fucking crazy. Mm-hmm. I'll say that right now. We're talking about the craziest thing. If they trade DeAndre Jordan for the 4th overall pick, the Suns have lost their shit.
Yeah.
Because he's not worth the 4th overall pick. Not in this draft.
No.
In other drafts, maybe. But you know what
would be because we were talking the other day in trade, if they somehow got Kyrie.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Then you would need to or even, you know, somebody who doesn't play much defense in the backcourt. Either along with Devin Booker, would need a guy like DeAndre Jordan.
For sure. Another, I was just.
What right. I said was a stud defensive center, and you said John Henson, and I said stud. Not a bum.
Another one that don't sleep on, if the Clippers want to get up into the top three or top four, trading Blake Griffin to Boston for the 3rd pick overall.
Yeah, that'd be pretty crazy.
Because just saying. Blake followed Isaiah Thomas on Instagram, and Isaiah Thomas followed him back.
Yeah.
Well. So I love it. The NBA is so great. The NBA just has so many like little things. J.R. Smith got hacked again on social media.
Do you think people are we're just so bored with the playoffs that now it's like now the craziness ramps up where hope springs eternal during the draft?
Here's the thing. I think Golden State, I'm parroting Dan Patrick, but Golden State's gotten to everybody's head. He's made everybody lose their mind.
Yeah.
Here's another spicy take. What about Tristan Thompson getting traded?
Tristan Thompson? Yeah. I mean,
if that's a real fuck you to LeBron because he's a Rich Paul dude and he has a lot of money left on his account.
Yeah, but so is getting rid of
David Griffin. David Griffin. For future Bucks president of basketball.
Who could be the quote unquote veteran assistance to veteran help. Veteran experience.
I would love to dance on a couple people on Buck's Twitter because I was told I was crazy for that comment. So I will just give me it. I've connected those dots. I'm like Charlie Kelly looking for Pepe Silvia at this point.
Right.
So, but yeah, it's a lot of draft. I mean, so enjoy this. If you listen to this Friday, just sort of like, God, these guys were really wrong. Or like, wow, Charlie nailed that Blake Griffin trade. Mm-hmm. So anyways. The Brewers, it's funny, like, so Mitch and I, we did the podcast last Wednesday, and we both were like, well, how's this at? Like, yeah, Brewers are kind of sinking. We didn't know they were going to beat St. Louis. They beat St. Louis. They win. They end up winning 3 straight games in St. Louis, then beat the Padres 2 out of 3. And so it's like, wow, the Brewers are like, we're going to eat a bunch of crow. And then they lose 2 straight to the Pirates. Mm-hmm. I don't know where they are right now.
They are currently losing 2-1.
2-1. Okay. So, you know what
John
I mean?
John Jaso's in his fucking dreadlocks at a home run, I think.
God, screw John Jaso. So anyways, but the Brewers continue to sort of just kind of play this roller coaster. It's very much like how the Bucks were this winter, where it was like there were weeks where it was really good. There were weeks where it was really bad. There were weeks where you're like, oh, this is done. And then you're like, oh, my God, this team's actually pretty fun. Like, Friday night, like, this weekend was awesome.
And then they win 12 out of 15 or whatever.
Yeah, like, Eric Thames' speech was the one. It was Tony Plush-like. It was great. And then on Sunday, Jimmy Nelson shutting everybody down was also great. What's not been great has been Willie Peralta, who got the Jeff Suppan DL. We got it. We checked that one off our year-long bingo.
A right calf strain.
A right calf strain. And Hardricourt's like, well, it's been a weird year for calf strains. And
get the Brewers are the probably like,
oh, yeah,
out.
You know, it's weird. Whatever. Yeah. Don't mind us. Willie, just take some time. It's not as bad, though, as Pablo Sandoval going on the DL for an ear infection, which is the ultimate, like, get off this team right now.
It's funny that I know Adam McKelvey said on some show this week that DL Stint wouldn't be the worst for Willie Peralta right now.
Exactly.
And
I don't know what
the ipso facto.
I don't know what the Brewers are doing though with him. I don't know why it's not just a DFA situation. I really hope Brent Suter pitches well enough that,
because again, they're just scared.
No, I know why they, but like Jimmy Nelson was having the same problems as Willie Peralta a couple of years ago. Jimmy Nelson made mechanical changes that Derek Johnson wanted him to. Willie's too hard-headed to listen. So at some point, you just have to give up on the guy and say, okay, if you're going to be great in, with the White Sox, fine, whatever. I don't care.
We'll do it live. Fuck it.
But, you know, the bullpen continues to try to rework. The one positive with the Brewers kind of getting their ass kicked on Monday and Tuesday is Corey Knebel and Jacob Barnes got a couple days off. Really a nice thing for both guys.
Yeah, which means you got to leave Willie Peralta out there a little longer than you probably should.
Well, right. And Esposito did a good job on... Esposito. I'm like, Despacito. Esposito. Esposito. But anyways, Espino. There we go. Third time's a charm. He pitched well on Monday. I mean, the Brewers could have won that game on Tuesday. They could not hit with runners in scoring position.
Keon had an awful out.
Yeah, Keon's not a good series. He had an error that led to the run getting scored in the second inning or third inning. So, yeah, he's, you know, it is what it is. And the Brewers have to take advantage of this schedule. They have only three games against teams with an above 500 record for the next 30. You cannot... They go 500 in this, I will put my claim that I are not making the playoffs. Mm-hmm. I will, because this is the time to make up some games, to start separating yourself, to keep pace with the Cubs team that's going to probably get hot, who knows, or Cardinals team, never know with them. So you just, the Reds are not a factor. You're going to get the Reds at a good time. Atlanta's difficult, but SunTrust has kind of been a southern version of Coors. Balls flies out of there, so the Brewers could have some fun in their new stadium. Because
it's hotter
this
than the hubs of hell in Atlanta.
It's a lot of rain that's been going on in the in the Peach State.
Can't wait for it to have a rain delay on Saturday. It's gonna be great.
Just
you know it's coming.
Oh yeah, I mean that's Murphy's Law, right? You have something to do on Saturday night, so what better than a 3:10 game that doesn't start till 6?
Mm-hmm. Oh God.
He's like, don't even say that. He's like, that's terrible. I know we were gonna kind of talk.
I was talking about like a hour rain delay during the game or something.
I know we were going to talk about the Packers, but I feel remiss if we didn't mention Cody Bellinger. I mean, guy is like God. Like, he has 22 home runs.
Shucks and love.
The man crush for Cody Bellinger is developing. I don't play him enough in DraftKings to really like consider him like one true love, but it's getting there. I mean,
he'll struggle at some point.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I think it's wild and it's great for baseball that Aaron Judge and Cody Bellinger are pretty much leading the league in home runs, and they're both rookies. That's such a good thing for the league.
One plays in New York and the other plays in L.A.
Very convenient. That helps, too.
Everybody's so shocked that Aaron Judge is leading the league in all-star votes. Like, what do you think? Somebody for the Brewers could have 30 home runs right now.
And no one would give a score to pass.
And yeah, exactly. But a guy hits a couple really long home runs for the Yankees, and, you know, everybody in Japan and China is voting for him.
So you're not an Aaron Judge guy?
No, I think he's great.
We talked about Aaron Judge a couple weeks ago. You're like, well, he's on the Yankees, so we'll probably dislike him. But Bellinger probably becomes a more likable guy because he's on the Dodgers, who are kind of a slick team.
Aaron Judge is kind of, like I said, he's an all shucks type of kid, so I don't mind him.
If the Dodgers get one more pitcher, I think they're the best team in the NL. They might be the best team in baseball. They are... at full strength, so good. With Bellinger, Seager, Justin Turner, Forsythe, they're hitting the shit out of the ball right now. So
plus Agon. He's just kind of there getting paid.
He's
paychecks.
Just there. He's there. He'll have like the Lance Berkman find out that no, that's mean. I shouldn't go there. If you don't know what I'm talking about, I don't think I do. Just look up Lance Berkman right now, and let's just say Lance isn't a big fan of rainbow flags at all. Not his cup of tea. But what is our cup of tea is Bucks draft picks. We'll try to squeeze in some Packers next week. We're wrapping up. I mean,
I mentioned in my intro that Derek Carr is getting paid. Reports are he's going to get $25 million a year.
Wow. Aaron Rodgers is like, okay, I'm going to keep the key of a note of that. Just for future reference.
I'm going to keep making passive-aggressive comments.
Right, exactly. And Mike Florio will jump on him and create, like, some headline because that's what Mike Florio does.
Right.
God love him, but, you know. So, okay. Tappers, you guys enjoy the summer solstice if you're here in the Milwaukee area and Eastsiders last hurrah.
Pray for no rain in Atlanta.
If not, pray for Mitchie not having a rain delay on Saturday so you can come get drunk with us. So for Mitch, I'm Charlie. We'll talk to you after the draft and whatever craziness comes
with
it.
Hopefully we weren't too wrong.
Nope, we'll do our best.
Peace.
See you.